Daniel chapter number 16, as we begin our text this evening, there's a man named Samuel. So just kind of catch us up to where we're at, because I know that maybe not everybody's been here or whatever, but in 1 Samuel is the story. This is the last judge, and the last judge of Israel is Samuel. And Samuel, being the last judge, he gets to anoint the first king. And the first king being Saul. Saul was a king for, I believe, right at 40 years. And when he, at the end of his reign, or during his reign, God rejected him from being king. And during that time period, God wanted a new king. And so Samuel, being the last judge, he had the opportunity to not only pick the first king, but he also had the opportunity to anoint the second king. And that second king being King David. Many of you would know who King David is. David is the one who killed Goliath. David is the guy who's sitting like four rows from the back. No, that's not King David, is it? That's who you're named after, I assume.
You know, it's after I pick on that bald head.
That's who you're named after, I assume. About King David. And honestly, King David was a special man. God used King David in a great way. But what I want us to do is I want us to look at the anointing of the king. But what took place at the anointing of the king is God came to him in verse number five, God told Samuel, that you are going to anoint a new king. And then he was kind of afraid that King Saul would find out and kill him, because King Saul was that type of a guy. Well, God told him, go do what I said, and he went down to anoint the king. So let's pick up reading in verse number 6 of chapter number 16. All right, you there? 1 Samuel 16, verse number 6. And it came to pass when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance or the height, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. So I want you to picture this with me, if you will, okay? Picture in your mind Samuel. He's a judge. He's come to town to do one thing, to anoint the next king. God told him is going to be the one, the sons of Jesse. So think about that for just a second. As he walks into the room, immediately he sees Eliab. And we talked about this as we looked at this last week. We talked about the will of God, how important the will of God is, and making sure that we are in the will of God. Samuel immediately began to make a choice by sight. Many people in this room, including myself, we make decisions by sight sometimes. Would you not agree? Yes, we do. Immediately, we make it, oh, that looks good, and we make that choice. And we talked about making good decisions. One of the ways we talked about last week of making good decisions is making sure that we're surrounded by godly counsel, making sure that we are surrounded by people who are going to help us make a good choice. You know, there are people in our life that are not going to help us make good choices. Okay? And so we talked about that. And we talked about that's the importance of making a good decision, making the right decision, the will of God. So I asked the question as we closed last week, what is the will of God for your life? Every single person in here, you have a will of God. You have something God has designed for you to do. What is your purpose? Are you fulfilling that purpose? But I want us to look a little bit deeper on this will, because not we need to live in the will of God. We need to do the will of God. But watch what he says in verse number 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance, nor or on his height, or of his stature, because I have refused him. But as we look at this, this decision maker of Samuel was altered by God. You say, what do you mean altered? Samuel immediately saw this young man come in. Eli, he looks good. He looks like the next king. He's going to be the next king. And then God says, no. And Samuel says, okay, that's fine. So the next one comes in and God says, no. Samuel says, okay, bring the next one in. Seven come in. And every one of them, they say no. What does Samuel do? When God says no, what does Samuel do? He says no. Now, I want you to put yourself in Samuel's position for just a moment. Is it hard when God tells you no to be okay with God telling you no?
Oh, yes.
I would agree with you that it is hard to be okay when God tells us no. Because when we want it now. And so what Samuel was okay with, in the same aspect that we need to be okay if God says no. Because not everything that we desire and not everything we want is always a yes for God. It's not. Because sometimes we want things that God doesn't want. And sometimes our desires are not what God wants. Should our desires always be what God wants? Sure. But are they always what God wants?
No.
No. And so sometimes the answer is no. And we have to be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit of God, and sensitive enough to the Bible, and sensitive enough to understand when God says no, that decision is final. It's over. And move forward. But sometimes, if you're like me, well, let's push on again.
Push that on a little further.
Are you sure, Brother Adam? Are you sure? Are you sure, Lord, that that's what you want?
Yeah.
Huh? How many in this room would be honest with me? You've been guilty of when God said no, you're like, yeah, are you sure?
Yeah.
Huh? But you? Guess what? I think just about every hand went up in the room.
Oh, yeah.
Because we've all, when we've been told no, well, what did Samuel do? Immediately he moved on to the next young man. You know how difficult it must have been for Samuel? He, honestly, if I'm going to be honest with you, I'd be a little bit frustrated. Would you not?
Right.
Would you not be a little bit frustrated? Okay, God, did you not send me down here to anoint the next king? And here you are. You've got seven of Jesse's sons come running through here, and not one of them is the king that you want me to pick? Why are you wasting my time, God?
Yeah.
Have we ever said that? Never. Never have we ever said that before. Right?
Come on.
Now, so what does Samuel do? Samuel desires the will of God. He desires the will of God. And he understands that when he's looking for this king, he's not looking for the next greatest looking guy. Because God doesn't look on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart. Okay? Is outward appearance important? Absolutely it is, because it is our representation, and we talked about that a couple weeks ago, so I'm not going to cover that again. But it's our representation of Christ, okay? What the world sees is your outward appearance, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. They do not get to see what's inside. God sees your inside, okay? God understands that. God understands who you are. God understands what you are. And he doesn't have to see the outside to see who you are. But the world doesn't get to see the inside. So you, what you represent, how you walk, how you talk, how you dress, is very important that we represent God. And I'll be done because we already talked about that a couple weeks ago. But
As he's given this instruction, Samuel understands, okay, well, it's not about outward appearance, so Eliab's out. Okay, so it's not about this, it's not about stature. Okay, so the next one's out. And he gets all the way down to the last son. He says, Samuel says, do you have any more sons out there? Do you have any more sons? Now, for most of us, that answer would probably be, Samuel, I don't have any more sons, right? I only have one, right? He's already there. Do you have seven sons? How many have seven sons? Anybody have seven sons? No? No seven sons? Okay. Boy, you would already be out then, wouldn't you? Seven sons. Oh, wait a minute. There's one more. Look in that rest of that verse. Let's read together at verse number 11. Verse number 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? Is this all your boys? Is this everybody? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, the keeper of the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. You know what? Do you know what his daddy thought of David? He's not even worthy to come to the meeting. Man, he's the runt of the group. Leave the runt at the house. I mean, he's the keeper of the sheep. Really, think about that for just a moment. Daddy left him at home. Why did Daddy leave it at home? There's absolutely no way God chooses him to be king. No. Take my seven best boys. Come on, boys. You stay behind. I don't know if that was his attitude. It doesn't say that there. But it just makes you wonder, begs the question, why? But look in verse number 12. And he sinned and brought him in. Hey, what did Jesse do? Exactly what Samuel asked him to do. Now, he was ruddy. From what I understand, is that ruddy means like red hair. He was red haired. And withal, a beautiful countenance, and what? Goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him. For this is he. See, now, the very next verse is Samuel gets up and anoints him to be king. But what Samuel, in his decision-making point of his life, he was sensitive enough to listen to God that when he thought Eliab was number one and should have been chosen, he didn't choose Eliab. He let God work in his heart enough to reveal to him that it was David, the very youngest son of Jesse, who was ruddy, who was a little boy, who was just a young man who was a keeper of the sheep, but he had a beautiful countenance. Beautiful countenance. Now let me ask you this. What in your mind do you think that means? That he had a beautiful countenance. What do you think that means? In your opinion, what do you think that
means? Beautiful soul, vibrance.
Okay. Vibrance about it? I know that there's an actual definition of it, but I don't know that there's a per se a wrong answer. What do you think it means?
He was strong in his belief, smart, had an arrogance about him, but had a walk about him that he was sure, he was positive of what he did, did not waver at all. When he made a move and it was done. He didn't have second guesses
right about what and he And that's doing. What he did. He allowed what he saw, and God convicted him. He said, hey, anoint him, arise, anoint him. And he immediately went and did that. But it was based on David. He had a beautiful countenance. Have you ever seen an individual that immediately you saw them and you knew they were sad? Have you ever seen somebody? And you didn't have to know them. You didn't have to introduce yourself to them. But you knew they were sad.
That's right.
Okay. Have you ever met somebody just on the street and you saw somebody that was happy?
Yep.
You've seen that countenance before.
The Bible says he had a beautiful countenance. So what in your mind would constitute that being beautiful? Because he's a young man, he's not a girl, okay? When we use that word beautiful, we use that in for ladies, right? Have you ever told a man, oh man, you are beautiful? Huh?
No.
Alfred, have you ever been caught? No, I'm just kidding. Not beautiful? But what is, okay, so if we don't use that word of endearment for a man, so how could David, what would be beautiful about his countenance? What do you think? What do you think would cause his countenance to just absolutely be
his face.
Beautiful?
His face.
You think?
His face.
Now again, I don't know the answer to this. This is all, hey, why? Because what all he did was see him. That's all he saw. He saw his face, but he had a beautiful countenance.
He seen that he had the vision of the path of where he knew where he was supposed to be.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you look at them and they see each other, it was that time to be there.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. Like I said, I'm just asking that question. What is that? What would make it a beautiful, just absolutely beautiful? He had that look about him. He was heading on a mission. Yes.
Well, you know, have you ever
met
anyone that is ugly?
Yeah.
Or just not really attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But they're beautiful.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I mean, maybe that's what it means. Shown through that. It was beyond his appearance.
Yes.
It was his inward self.
Right. That's good. That's
I've seen some people that, when you look at them, they're beautiful.
Yes.
When you talk to them, they've got such a good attitude. It's
an
attitude.
Right. It's that inward.
I'm bad about that because lots of times I make a snap judgment.
That's right.
Right. Because we immediately...
You don't make the judgment of the cover of the book. You got to read
right,
it.
Right, right. And so what... And you go back, and I think, in my opinion, okay? This is Trenton's opinion, okay? You go back to that verse where the Bible says that God looketh on the heart. My opinion, okay? I believe that when the Bible talks about that, he looketh on the heart. When David walked into the room, his heart was shining. Because his beauty was within. And he wasn't necessarily a good-looking kid. He wasn't necessarily the sharpest-looking brother. But he just was radiant, full of life, and full of the Lord inside of him. And when he walked into the room, he absolutely shone from within.
He shined up.
Just absolutely. And you know, in the scripture where it talks about Moses going up to the mountain, and when Moses came down, his face was shining. You remember that story? Mm-hmm. Okay. Dude, why was his face shining? Because he had been with God. Right? And so that's kind of, in my opinion, that's kind of how I see it. Now, his face wasn't bright gold and it was like that. It wasn't shining in that aspect. But when he walked into the room, David was his godly, a beautiful countenance. Does anybody else have any thoughts or questions? You're back there. Are you ready? Oh, yeah, Miss Stacy.
In my mind, I kind of think like peaceful and calm. I know in my life, I have people like when life is chaotic, like I want to be in their presence because it's calming, it's peaceful. And so David has every reason to be chaotic as the youngest of that many brothers and to even be angry, you know, with his countenance not being calm because he was left out of this meeting. Why was he not invited? And so I think he just knew his place and his purpose. And so he was just calm and peaceful. And so it's just that spirit that you wanted to be by, you know, that it just, you knew that, you know, he was at peace with what he was supposed to be doing.
Right. And you could tell it from within. You ever seen a lady that was pregnant and you knew it? Because they were glowing?
That's right.
You ever heard that statement before? Ever heard of a lady that was glowing? Where does that come from? Within. Mm-hmm. Comes from within.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else have any questions or thoughts? I'm out of that statement.
honesty.
A goodly, yeah, beautiful,
sincere, honest face.
Uh-huh.
You know, have a face that was honest and a sincere face.
Yeah.
Pure is pure.
You know, a deceitful face.
When you are approached with something or someone's facing you sometimes, your face immediately tells. If you're good about it, sometimes you can hide what you really think. But most of the time, your face immediately tells.
Oh, yes.
Your excitement, mad, whatever.
Right.
Okay? I think it tells.
You can read the room and people.
Oh, yeah. So it says he has a beautiful countenance, and what else does it say he has? What does it say?
A beautiful countenance and? Let's read the rest of that verse. A beautiful countenance and a what? And a goodly to look to. And goodly to look to. He looks sharp. Yes, sir.
Does that mean that he was looking for a good looking guy? there was more to this than that.
Right, maybe a swagger.
There was a lot more to this than look.
It was.
He chose him not because he was good looking.
No.
Right.
You're right. Yeah. Because you go back to that first statement God made. She says, don't necessarily choose on the outside, but what God sees on the heart. And so when he walked in the room, the beautiful countenance wasn't from his looks per se. It was from within. And then he says he was goodly to look to, not necessarily goodly to look at.
Right.
You know. So what does that mean? That there was something inside of him, there was something going on that allowed him to look goodly too? Yes, sir?
Am I wrong? But when you say I killed the bear, I slew the lion, experience with God.
Accomplishment, yes.
Right. It was experience with God. Mm-hmm. Because he said God did this.
Right. Because it is the very next chapter. He gets anointed to be king. And chapter 17 is when he slays Goliath. And at the end of this chapter, he stands before King Saul. And he plays music for King Saul. And all of these things are building up to him becoming the next king. And so David is out there in the field, and he's the keeper of the sheep. And so, like you said, there was a time when a bear came to get his sheep. And the Bible says that David slew the bear. How did he slew the bear? With his staff? Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, you know, more than likely the shepherd wasn't carrying around a big sword and a shield and a bow and arrow. I don't know what he was carrying, but God allowed him to kill the bear. And then the lion the same way. And God allowed him to win those battles. But when he stands before King Saul in chapter number 17, David uses the words. He said, I come to you. I go to him, if you will, Goliath. He said, I'm not going to kill him in the name of me. I'm going to kill him in the name of God. And so he knew that his strength lied within.
Amen.
Because of his past experience and because of the things that he had accomplished, this God allowed him to walk into the room with a beautiful countenance, and he looked goodly to look to.
Yes.
You could tell it. He came into the room, and he had already been there. He had accomplished those things. As the youngest son of Jesse, there he was, after serving the Lord. All right. Any other questions?
David was pretty important, pretty precious.
He was?
I mean, Jesus. Doesn't it say in Acts that, you know, that after, it has to do with David and his seed and all this. In other words, he's kind of putting him in a position like Christ, which is a great, you know, from God, that's a great.
Right. But if I'm not mistaken, he's a type of Christ, is he not? Because he's a shepherd. He's the king, and then the lineage, if you follow the lineage all the way down to Jesus, Jesus is in the lineage of King David. And David was chosen as the youngest, and David was a ruddy boy, and just a young man, and God chose him. But again, I go back to the thing that the importance is Samuel following the will of God. Samuel came to that room. He could have anointed Eliab. He could have anointed any of those other brothers, but he did not, because he wanted to follow the will of God. And it is very important as a church, as individuals, that we follow the will of God for our life. Every one of us, as I said, as I began the lesson, every one of us, you have a will.
That's right.
Whose will do you follow? Your will or God's will?
God's will.
I would hope and pray that it is God's will. But sometimes we follow our own will. But look, when he said, get up and anoint him to be king, let's read that last verse together and then we'll be done. In that very verse right there, in verse number 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. This is the end. This is the end for Samuel. We learn a couple more stories about him because of after his death and things like that. But this is it. Samuel anointed David. He rose up and anointed him with oil. And the Spirit of God came upon David. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the oil represents the Holy Spirit. And so what David was doing, or what Samuel was doing, was anointing him with oil to be the next king, so that everyone would know David was to be the king. King Saul was still in charge. King Saul was still the man as king, but God had rejected him and it was over for him. And God had to choose a new king. And that new king was David. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
David is what God wants.
That's right. That is absolutely correct. That is absolutely correct. That's right. Saul is who the people wanted, and David is who God wanted. That's absolutely right. And so God chose David to be the next king and anointed him with oil. Oh, to God that we would desire that fresh oil to be anointed by Christ, to be anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. When we walk in Christ, we walk our lives in the Holy Spirit, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Bible tells us that we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And what is it? What do you think it means to be filled? To means to be filled is to allow that to change you. Allow the Spirit to control you. Allow the Spirit to yield your will to His. And that anointing allowed the Spirit of the Lord to come on King David. Now, as I look at this, I see a couple things and I'm going to close. How important it is for us to follow the will of God. How important is it? My children need me to follow the will of God. My church needs me to follow the will of God. So as Samuel did what God wanted, he did exactly as God desired. All right. Anybody have any questions? All right. Any comment? We have one more. We'll stop here.